Day 12. Hans has been screaming for the past 7 hours. What seems strange is that the other men have not reacted in any way. Hans has been screaming now for the past 12 hours. His screams have been replaced with a faint whimper. It seems he has permanently destroyed his vocal cords. Sleep experiment, day 12, June 14th, 1945. End log.
There's no time.
The time is
13 o'clock.
Hey everybody, it's the first episode of 2018.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it's 2018 already.
Yeah, happy new year everybody. Hope everybody had a good one.
Yeah.
Since it's the new year, you may have noticed we made a couple of changes. I changed the theme song, and if you're watching us on YouTube, I changed up, you know, the open air a little bit.
I thought it was time to change that, so I mentioned it to Jenny, and she came up with that awesome song. I said, we need to go with something a little more like industrial sound.
Well, I didn't come up with it. I just got it off of Freesound. And
yeah, but then you mixed it
and
up.
And altered it with some other things.
It sounds good, though.
Yeah, so that was one of the changes we made. I also, I have a new, you'll notice at the end of the show, I have like a new little ending theme. We're also going to start putting all of our patrons and supporters in the end credits.
Yep.
On our YouTube show. For the audio, I think I'll probably just put the names in the description just so, you know, it'll still be in there. But yeah, if you're watching us on YouTube, you'll see your name in the credits.
Yeah, so you'll get a plug.
Yeah, and stuff like that, because, you know, I don't know why I didn't think of doing that before. But, yeah. And we also decided that what we were going to do, too, and we had actually been talking about doing this for a while, and we only just now got around to doing it, was that, aside from having, you know, the main topic that we're going to talk about, which we're still going to do, we also decided to do like a little extra mini topic that was something that was like newer, like a weird thing that happened in the news or happened recently or
something. Yeah, kind of like a current event.
Yeah. But, you know,
basically like news.
Yeah, but like still like a paranormal or like a weird, you know, something like that.
Yeah, like something weird goes down, we're going to mention it.
Right. So just so we have like a little mini thing that's something that's more contemporary to go along with our main topic. So that's one of the changes that we made also. Other than that, just our same regular plugs. Check out our last movie review, which was The Legacy, if you haven't seen that one. And also, don't forget to check out our Patreon, which is patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or check out our blog at 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there is a link in the sidebar. If you would rather give a one-time donation through PayPal, that would be much appreciated. And also, I forgot to do, because usually I try to set up Google Hangouts for the $10 and up patrons, and I usually do it on the fourth weekend of the month, but I didn't, that should have been last weekend and I didn't really get my shit together. So, and I forgot about it.
Yeah.
So probably we are going to do it this coming weekend. So I'll be sending invites out for our $10 and up people if you would like to attend our Google Hangout. Hopefully we don't have any technical issues. We have been having some technical issues on the last ones. And, I had a couple people contact me that they couldn't get through or they couldn't, or the link wasn't working or something like that. So hopefully that will get worked out.
Faceless Villain. I'll tell you what, that audiobook selling like crazy. We don't know where it's coming from. Just
yes. If any of you guys have bought them, thank you very much. And
yeah,
that's pretty awesome. Yeah. It's actually selling really well.
Yeah, and codes are going out, too. You sent codes out.
Yeah, and I still have some. So if you still want one, then, you know, get in touch with me on Facebook or email if you have my email address.
Yeah, we'll send you a free one.
And I'll send you a free one because I still have some. Also, if you would write a review, I would really appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, I also want to make another announcement for those of you who know about the Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist case that I was involved with. My uncle, Red, who was like one of the main witnesses in that case, has passed away.
Yes.
He died a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I forgot to mention it in the last week, but plus I didn't want to mention it too much on a movie retrospective.
Yeah, so. True. That's more something we mention on a regular episode.
Yeah, you know, he was only 61 years old, and what he was at his apartment with my Aunt Lois, and he hadn't been feeling good. And just out of the blue, he said, Lois, hand me that wet towel over there. I gotta wipe my forehead. And she said, okay. And she got up and started heading towards it. And she, as she was walking away, he's like, I don't feel too good. And she says, what's wrong? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, don't call the paramedics. And he, boom, fell out of his chair. Never woke back up.
Yeah.
Heart failure.
Yep. 61 years old.
Yeah. So, you know, that was my buddy. But, you know, that's
yeah, the way life I know. Is. And like a lot of you have read the Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist or, you know, have listened to our episode about it.
Yeah. And I was going to get a recording of all his testimony, too, so we could make a show about it.
Yeah.
And have him on as a guest. But we still have Lois and we'll have Lois on. But, not only did I lose my uncle, I lost one of my main witnesses in that.
Yeah, that's really a shame.
And his testimony. But we have the book.
Yeah, I mean, at least we got that because, you know, I do have like a lot of quotes from him because he did write something when I was doing the book and Lois wrote some things that he had said also. So at least we have that.
Yeah, I just wanted a recording of it.
Yeah.
And we'd actually considered maybe going back to Mammoth Mountain and finding that.
Yeah, and I think we just mentioned that like a couple episodes ago, matter of fact.
And going back there.
Yeah.
To that condo. That'd have been a trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah. That's what happens. It's just life.
We don't live forever.
Kicks you in the ass.
Yeah. You get to be about 40 years old and you realize we don't live very long.
No, we don't.
No. 5 years goes by fast now.
The older you get, I don't know how young some of you folks are out there, but this will happen to you also. The older you get, the faster time seems to get.
I hit 30 and I goes, man, I'm becoming an old man. And then, pow, 35. And I was just, no shit, this isn't happening. Pow, 40.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. 30 to 40 goes by fast.
Oh, yeah. And it just seems to speed up more and more like once you get into your 40s.
But what's funny is like from birth to 20 seems like that took forever.
It seems like forever, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
I know, it is weird.
Okay, I wanted to mention one of these things that's been going on lately. And that's
this is our mini current event that we're talking about today.
Yeah, some cool shit happened recently.
Yeah.
It's called the Tic Tac UFO.
Yeah.
Tell us about it, Jenny.
Okay, so even though this news story only came out recently, like in the past week or so, it actually refers to something that happened back in 2004.
Yeah, we're just finding out about
it. And we're only just finding out about it now because it was just declassified and stuff like that.
Now, evidently, it did show up on a discussion board, kind of like on the dark web between fighter pilots. They were talking about it, showing it to each other. And it did kind of leak out from that time. But the video isn't real impressive if you don't understand the context. So it's been on the internet for a long time, and people didn't really know what they were looking at. But it's been confirmed now that this was a damn unidentified flying object.
Yeah, and apparently this is like a super official, like this came right from the Pentagon, like the video and everything like that.
The Pentagon hired these subcontractors to investigate these UFO sightings that they were having with pilots and other government aides.
Yeah, and evidently this has been funded. It was funded from 2007, I believe, to 2012. Yeah. And I think that the program is still ongoing, although I don't think it's funded as much. Right. But so what evidently ended up happening, and this happened in 2004, and the main witness that most of the news stories are concentrating on, because he's one of the main ones, the main guys that saw this, although he's not the only one that saw it, but he's kind of the main one that they've been talking to.
Yeah.
He was a U.S. Navy commander, David Fravor, and he had been in the Navy for 18 years, I believe, at this stage. So this happened in November of 2004, and evidently this guy, Fravor, was commanding a strike fighter squadron.
Yes, F-18s.
Yeah, and they were doing an exercise. It was somewhere between like San Diego and Ensenada, Mexico.
Yeah, I think it was like 200 miles off the coast of San Diego.
Yeah, and this was before they were going to be deployed to the Persian Gulf. Now, while they were doing this exercise, he gets an order to do what they call real-world tasking. Like, here's something you have to go check out.
Yeah.
So he says that the command told him that there were some unidentified flying objects, and they were going from 80,000 feet down to 20,000 feet and then disappearing. And he said that the commanding officer had told him that they had been tracking these objects for several weeks at this point, and they didn't know what they were.
Yeah.
So they wanted this squadron to go check it out.
Yeah, now there's something that's kind of been left out already. He wasn't the first person to see this.
No.
The message that he got actually came from the report of an AWACS aircraft that was in that area that picked it up on radar and looked at it. And what the AWACS pilot saw was some kind of disturbance in the water with an object kind of hovering right above it. And then he gets the message to go down there and go look at it because the AWACS plane turned away from it and went back to the ship, towards the ship.
So evidently they get there, they see this object that's flying around a patch of water in the ocean. And he describes it as a 40-foot tic-tac looking object.
Yeah.
He said it didn't have any wings or anything like that.
Yeah, about the size of a school bus.
Yeah.
And underneath it, he saw a disturbance in the water. It looked like a ship went down. So he said that was the closest thing he could kind of associate that pattern.
Although he did say that the object wasn't causing any rotor wash.
No.
So evidently, he tries to get closer to whatever this object is. And then he says he's kind of starting to close in on it. It accelerates and just like kind of disappears. He's like faster than he's ever seen it. He's like faster than it should have been possible to go.
Yeah, he was flying towards it. He looked down on it and he had a wingman with him. And he started to actually descend. And he did this by circling down. In other words, spinning and keeping it off to his right. And evidently this tic-tac shape object matched his turn. So it constantly stayed on his left side and rose up at the same time. So in other words, he was doing a corkscrew down. And then the tic-tac object was doing a corkscrew turn up. It was a trip.
Yeah. So it was like sort of matching his
turn.
Movements. Yeah.
And he actually has IR video, infrared video of this object. And you can see it on YouTube.
Yeah. Although I don't think it's not super clear from the article, but I don't think he's the one that took the video.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he saw it and then he went back to the aircraft carrier, which was the USS Nimitz.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another crew that went to look for it and they tracked it for a couple of minutes.
That's
and I
right.
think they were the ones that actually videotaped it.
Yeah,
it wasn't just him that saw it.
Yeah. And you hear them talking about it. They're going, look at that thing. Look at it. You know, oh, it's turning. And it's kind of like a diamond shaped tic-tac that's kind of rotating up on its edge. It's a strange looking thing.
Yeah.
Now you're not really seeing the surface of the craft. You're basically just seeing its heat signature. So it's not a color image. It's just kind of like a bright white tic-tac looking thing.
Yeah.
On a black and white background. It's hard to tell what you're looking at. Now the video does not show it taking off. Evidently they didn't release that part of the video. And this government agency still has a lot of video classified that they evidently are going to release slowly over time, which that's a trip. And this agency did a whole analysis on it and verified, you know, its speed and how fast it took off and where it was and all the witnesses. And they say that this thing was probably an extraterrestrial craft of some sort.
Well, and that's definitely what this particular guy, Commander Fravor, that's what he believed. He's retired now. He retired from the Navy a couple of years later in 2006. And he says that he didn't really tell anyone about it. He said he kind of, you know, got a ribbing from the other guys that hadn't seen it and stuff like that. But he's like, nothing really came out of it until about 2009. And there was a government official who he didn't say who it was, but he said they were doing an unofficial investigation. Later on, a guy named Luis Elizondo, who was an intelligence officer who used to work for the government, but now he has a private company that's called To the Stars Academy of Arts and Sciences. And they're kind of trying to promote, he's kind of a consultant there where they're trying to kind of promote research into UFOs, both for scientific and entertainment purposes, it says.
Yeah.
So evidently this Elizondo guy was the guy that actually secured the release of these videos from the Pentagon from this apparently secret program that nobody knew about, but some of it's been declassified now.
Yeah, and it confirms a lot of things that I've been suspected for a long time.
Right. So
that Project Blue Book may have ended, but the government's interest in these objects never ended.
The senator, Harry Reid, he's retired now, but he's a Democratic senator from Nevada, was actually the guy that started this particular program. And he has actually come out and said, you know, it was one of the best things he did and stuff, because he's always been interested in this type of thing, not just from a scientific standpoint and also from a defense military standpoint, too.
Yeah.
Just trying to check out what this was and, you know, that there needed to be more research into it. So I don't know if the program is still ongoing. Some people say it is.
It probably is.
It probably is, but I don't think it's as funded as it was up until 2012.
It confirms a lot of my suspicions that they know about it confirms a lot of my suspicions that they know about these things. I don't think that they talk to these UFOs. I don't believe that. I don't believe that they've ever had communication with these UFOs. I believe that they just see them. They know it's some kind of an extraterrestrial craft. There's nothing they can do about it.
I'd be willing to think that they're probably, like I said, I'm not one of those like conspiracy theory people that are all like, they're talking to aliens.
No.
I think that every now and then they see some kind of thing that it's possible it could be extraterrestrial, but they don't know what it is.
Right.
They don't know how to communicate with it. They just see it and they're like, okay, well, there's that. About all they can do about it.
Just because they're investigating them, that basically proves that they're not talking with them.
Yeah.
Because if they were talking with them, they would know.
Yeah.
And they would know what was going on. They wouldn't be interested in studying them.
Right.
Because the aliens would answer their questions.
Yeah.
So that means that they know that these aliens are coming here. The aliens aren't talking to us. We're trying to figure out more. And the reason why I believe that they know is because for years, military guys have sent these reports up the chain of command, and these reports were never punished. I'm ex-Army. I know that if I ever put up a report that wasn't believed, you'd be punished. They would say, oh, you're sending up a false report. You're crazy. That kind of thing. And they'd punish you. But the Air Force has been putting these things up, and Army, put these reports into the chain of command and send them upwards, and there's never any kind of response. That means that they believe that report.
But that they don't know what to do about it.
They don't know what to do about it. Right.
Okay, well.
If they didn't believe that report, there'd be a huge investigation. They'd try to figure out who caused this hoax. A lot of guys would be demoted, maybe even our court-martialed.
Well, yeah, because you can't do that kind of stuff.
You can't do that shit in the military.
That's, yeah.
No.
Right.
So they believe these reports. Now, I'm looking at this craft. It's the size of a school bus. I'm thinking it's probably some kind of an AI drone, extraterrestrial drone. Or maybe it's maybe the aliens themselves are some kind of intelligent machines. You know, there's no proof that there's any biology, because the G-forces would have been fantastic. But then again, who knows? Their engineering may be so advanced that they're,
Yeah, I mean, there would really be no way of knowing that, especially if they were that far in advance of us.
Right.
It's like they might be doing shit that we haven't even fucking thought of
yet. What's weird, though, is whenever cops or military report these things, these craft are doing pretty mundane shit, hovering above water, shooting lights down, or sending little balls of light around church steeples like in Yupan, in the French Belgian wave.
Yeah.
You know, or they're hovering down by the ocean and they were in that area because evidently they were picking this object up for several days off and on. So that's kind of boring, tedious kind of duty for a UFO, you'd think.
Yeah.
I was thinking that maybe it might be some kind of a drone.
Yeah, it probably is. I don't know. If there are aliens, I don't think they're as interested in us as we think they probably should be.
Yeah.
It's probably just like a routine checking out. They're just checking out environmental factors and things like that.
And you would think that they would send a robotic ship, some kind of an AI.
Yeah, it's like, why would
ship?
They even bother, like, right. sending any of their, like, people, quote unquote, here?
It's probably just some kind of weird survey thing looking at the ocean.
Yeah, that's probably all it is.
Yeah.
And like I said, 99 times out of 100 people that say they see UFOs, I think it's bullshit.
Yeah,
or
I think
it's just something that's like a normal thing that they're misidentifying.
But even Michio Kaku said you cannot disregard all these.
Yeah, but there
military
are
witnesses.
Yeah, there are a handful that are probably legit.
Probably
extraterrestrial. I don't know.
Yeah, I think everything else is kind of eliminated.
Yeah.
What else could it be? Yeah.
That's exactly. Okay, so now that we've kind of covered our current event for the week, let's get into our main topic. Now, this was actually, I can't remember who suggested it, but this was actually a listener submission, and they wanted us to do a show on the Russian sleep experiment.
Yeah.
Now, this is a very, very infamous story.
Yeah, I came across it a few years back.
And I have seen it touted as true in a lot of places. And it's kind of like, I don't know.
It's cleverly written.
It is. I find it it's a fascinating story.
Yeah.
And I can see why people might think it's true, but I don't think it is.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's not.
As a writer, you can see the signatures of a fictional tale.
Right.
Okay.
So basically, here's how it goes.
All right.
At some time in the late 1940s, the real year or date is never given. There was a group of Russian scientists and associated with the military, and they were going to do this experiment. Now, It's not super clear if the experiment was to determine the effect of this particular quote-unquote stimulant gas, or if it was to study the effect of extreme sleep deprivation, because both of those things were happening in this experiment.
Okay.
So the researchers take five guys, they're political prisoners, and they said, okay, so we're going to take these five guys and we're going to seal them in a room for 30 days was how long it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. We're going to fill this chamber with this stimulant gas. It's experimental. And we're going to monitor them and see if they can stay awake for 30 days on this gas. There's food in there. There's cots in there. At the end of the experiment, if they agree to the experiment, then they will be released. So they take these five guys and they seal them in this room. Now, they don't have, this is the 40s, so they don't have, closed circuit cameras or anything like that. The only way they can monitor them is they have these kind of porthole type windows that they can look in and see them. They have an oxygen gauge that shows them how much oxygen they're using. So the guys are put in there and they're watching them. Now, for the first 4 or 5 days, nothing terribly untoward seems to be happening. The guys don't seem to have much trouble staying awake. The only thing that seems strange is that as the time goes on, they start talking about more and more like traumatic incidents. Like at first, they're just kind of shooting the shit and being regular. But, you know, as the days go on, they start talking about worse and worse things like in their past and stuff like that. But they didn't really complain about anything about, you know, because they'd been in prison before. So I guess this was kind of a step up. Mm-hmm. And so after about the 5th day, they start acting super paranoid.
All right.
And then there are also microphones inside the thing so the researchers can monitor what they're talking about and stuff like that. I forgot to mention that. So after about the 5th day, they start getting really paranoid and they stop talking to each other.
All right.
However, they start whispering into the microphones and coming up to the windows and like talking like they're trying to talk to the researchers.
Yeah.
What the researchers are trying to determine is that it seems like the prisoners are thinking like that they'll get special treatment if they sell out the other prisoners.
Right.
So, you know, like I said, at first they seemed like they were kind of hanging together and they were buds and everything, but now they're trying to like narc on each other, right, and stuff like that because they think that's going to earn them brownie points or something. So the researchers are just kind of like observing this and everything like that. They said they don't know if this is really an effect of the gas or if it's an effect of the sleep deprivation or whatever, because these guys have not slept for 5 days at this point. Now, the next major thing that happened on the 9th day. On the 9th day, one of the dudes started screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And he just screamed and screamed and screamed for 3 hours straight, running up and down in the cell.
Yeah.
And he screamed until, evidently, he tore his vocal cords.
Okay.
Because after a while, he was still trying to scream, but could only produce a sort of squeaking sound.
Right.
So the researchers were not going into the cell at this point.
Right.
So they were just seeing through the windows and they were listening to the microphones. And so they assumed, well, he must have torn his vocal cords because he can't scream anymore. So they said, now the weird thing about this, so this guy is like screaming and running up and down for 3 hours.
Yeah.
And the other four prisoners do not react at all.
Okay.
They're just kind of sitting there going, okay. They just sit there. They're just whispering into the microphones like they had been doing, like it wasn't even happening. And then a couple of the other prisoners that weren't screaming, they had some books in the cell, like for entertainment and stuff like that. They started tearing the pages out of the books,
mm-hmm,
smearing them with their own shit.
Uh-huh.
And pasting them over the porthole windows,
yeah,
so that the researchers couldn't see in anymore.
Okay.
Now, after that happened, like after they pasted all the windows so the researchers couldn't see them, the screaming stopped.
Yeah.
Because one of the other guys had started screaming too.
Uh-huh.
And also the whispering into the microphone stopped. So it's just silence.
Okay.
Now, see, this is the point at which I'm kind of like, okay, because if they were really doing an experiment,
yeah,
and the guys are like pesos so you couldn't see in there anymore,
they stopped experiment.
They would stop and see what the fuck is going on in there, right? But they didn't do that.
Okay.
So they don't know what's going on in there now.
Okay.
Now, they said that they were still looking at the oxygen monitors and stuff like that, so they knew that the guys were still alive in there.
Yeah.
Because they were still using, you know, the same amount of oxygen that five guys would use. But the researchers are confused because the microphones are all still on and they're evidently still working.
Yeah.
But they don't hear anything. And they said, okay. Well, that's very strange that there's five guys in there who are allegedly still alive and they're not making any noise whatsoever.
Okay.
So at this point, actually, let me take a break right now because we're just about at the halfway point. Okay. And then we'll get back and we'll get into the end of this story because it's pretty good.
All right. I'm already calling bullshit on it.
Well, yeah. Okay, so we'll be back in just a few minutes.
The Villisca Axe Murders, Hinter Kaifek Bond, the Axeman of New Orleans, the Cleveland Torso Murder, who put Bella in the Witch Hunt, the Solder Children, the Phantom Killer, the Black Dahlia, Summerton. What is it about these unsolved murders that still fascinates us long after the cases have gone cold? Is it simply that we enjoy being able to come up with our own theories about what happened to the unfortunate victims? Or are we intrigued by the terrifying possibility that the killers are still out there somewhere? Take a grisly journey through the blood-soaked avenues of early 20th century crime in the new book, The Faceless Villain, Volume 1, by Jenny Ashford, now available on Amazon.
The Unseen Hand, a new exploration of poltergeist phenomena, by Jenny Ashford, author of The Rochdale Poltergeist, House of Fire and Whispers, and the Mammoth Mountain Poltergeist. The Unseen Hand is a comprehensive collection of over 100 reported poltergeist cases from the first century to the present day. All the best-known cases are presented, from the Bell Witch to Jeff the Talking Mongoose, from Rosenheim to Tina Resch, from Enfield to the Entity. A large selection of fascinating and lesser-known accounts from all over the world are also included, and all contain testimony from the most eerie and extraordinary events. The Unseen Hand is the ultimate compendium for readers interested in poltergeist disturbances throughout history and the theories behind what causes them. On sale now from Amazon in print, ebook, and audiobook formats. Go to Unseen Hand Book on Facebook and visit www.jennyashford.com for more information.
So we're back talking about the Russian sleep experiment.
So they've been quiet in there for a
while. So they've been very quiet in there. Yeah. And like I said, the researchers are still looking at these oxygen monitors. Yeah. And the oxygen monitors not only show that the five guys are still alive and are still in there, but they're using as much oxygen as five guys going through very strenuous exercise would be using. They're using a lot of oxygen.
Okay.
Even though they don't hear anything.
All right.
So finally, they let this go on until the 14th day.
Okay.
At which point they're like, okay, now we have to figure out what the hell is going on in there, right?
Yeah, and so all the windows are fucking closed up with shit paper.
With shit paper, right.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
I know. It gets better.
Okay, all right.
It gets better. So the researcher announces into the microphone, because they have not spoken to the test subjects at any point until now. So he says into the microphone, there's an intercom inside the cell. He says, we're opening the chamber to test the microphones. Mm-hmm. Please step away from the door, lie flat on the floor, or you'll be shot.
How do they know they're not sleeping?
I don't know. But then he says, compliance will earn one of you your immediate freedom.
All right.
Now, at this point, a single calm voice mm-hmm. comes through the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys inside says, we no longer want to be freed.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which, that's creepy, right?
Yeah.
That's creepy. So, evidently, the researchers don't know what to do with this information. So, they're talking, and then, like, there's military guys there because they're in on this, too. And they're like, well, what do we do? They don't want to be let out, and it's not going to, you know, well, fuck. Right. So, evidently, they argue for, like, a day or so. Because they don't end up opening the chamber until midnight, of course, on the 15th day. So, these guys have been in there for 15 days, no sleep, on this experimental stimulant gas.
Yeah.
Okay. So finally they said, okay, we're going to end the experiment. So they flush all the gas out of the chamber and fill it back up with fresh air. Now, as soon as they do that, there are all these voices coming from inside, the guys that are in there freaking the fuck out.
Okay.
You know, put the gas back in here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Turn the gas back on. So they open the chamber and there's a bunch of soldiers and they go in to see what the fuck is going on. And they are screaming, and then the soldiers start screaming because it's a fucking bloodbath in there, okay? One of the subjects is dead, and he's laying there, and it looks as though he has had chunks of flesh, like torn out of his thighs and his chest and stuff. And these chunks of flesh are stuffed into the drain that's in the floor. So there's like water and blood and stuff, like 4 inches on the floor of the cell. Now, also, the food rations that are in there, only the first 5 days of the food rations were eaten.
The rest of it's all just
Sitting there.
10 days of food for
four guys. Yeah. So the four guys that were still alive also had a bunch of chunks torn out of their flesh and apparently had been eating them, and they had done it to themselves because their fingertips were like bent down to the bone.
Right.
And, you know, they could, I guess they could tell from the angle or something like that. So it says in the story. So they've evidently been tearing out chunks of their own flesh and eating them.
Right.
But that's not the best part. The best part is that the four guys that are still alive, not only do they have all these chunks taken out of their arms and shit like that, but they have opened up their abdomens and taken their organs out. Like, the organs are still attached.
Yeah.
But they're just like laying there on the floor in this bloody, shitty 4 inches of water. And all of their organs are just like laying outside of them, like all fanned out. But they're still working and shit. Like, you can still see their stomach digesting the flesh that they're eating and shit like that.
Yeah.
And all of these guys are still like freaking out and screaming, telling them to turn the gas back on.
Okay.
Right?
That gas is flocka.
I guess so. So, okay, so the soldiers go in there and they're trying to take these guys out of the cell.
Right.
And the guys, even though all of their guts are hanging out and they have like all the blood loss and everything like that, they are adamant that they do not want to be taken out of the cell, right? So they're just like flipping out. So one of the soldiers that comes in, like one of the test subjects, rips his throat out.
Yeah.
Right? With his bare hands. Another one has his testicles ripped off and like a chunk bitten out of his thigh or something like that by one of these test subjects. And so evidently 5 of the soldiers died, not at the scene, but I think some of them committed suicide later or something like that. And then one of the guys, one of the test subjects, okay, his spleen, which is presumably sitting outside of his body, I guess during the struggle, like somebody stepped on it or it got ruptured or something like that. And this guy starts to bleed out, but he doesn't die.
Yeah.
Right? So they're trying to like sedate them and take them out and everything like that. They give him, evidently, this guy with the busted spleen was injected with more than 10 times the dose of morphine that it should have taken to put him to sleep. And he was still awake and he was still fighting and everything like that. He evidently was strong enough to break the ribs and the arm of one of the doctors that was trying to sedate him. His heart beat for a full 2 minutes after he had bled out.
Okay.
Okay.
Without any blood.
Without any blood. There was more air in his system than blood. Even after his heart stopped, he continued to scream for another 3 minutes. Just trying to attack the people around him.
Too much detail.
Right. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And he just kept saying more and more, more, more. He kept saying. And then finally he died. So there are 3 guys left still alive of the test subjects.
Yeah.
So they restrained all of them and they took them to a medical facility. I'm assuming it's a different place. And one of these guys was the guy with the shredded vocal cords, but the other two could still talk. So the other two were still begging to, you know, go back in the cell and have the gas put back on. So the one guy that was the most fucked up, I mean, of all the fucked up-ness that was going on, they take him to the operating room and they're going to do surgery to put all his organs back where they go and, you know, kind of stitch the skin that he had left like back over the abdomen. So that's what they're trying to do. And so they try to give him a sedative. It doesn't work. He's like starts fighting against the restraints, and then they bring out anesthetic gas. They're going to put him under, and he flips out. He does not want to want that. He does not want to sleep. He doesn't want to do any of that shit.
Okay.
So he tears like most of the way out of the restraints. Then they finally, you know, all of these guys jump on him and get him. They restrain him and stuff, and they put the anesthetic mask over him to put him to sleep. And the instant he falls asleep, he dies.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I'm not buying this story.
No, anymore. I know. Well, like I said, this, I'm just telling the story.
Tell the story.
This is how the story goes. So it says that his after he was dead, they found out that his blood had triple the normal level of oxygen. The muscles that were still attached to his skeleton, because I guess a lot of them weren't, were torn. He had broken 9 bones in his struggle to not be subdued. Now, the second guy that they tried to work on, he was the one that had his vocal cords shredded. So he couldn't object to the surgery. He was just kept shaking his head and shaking his head when they tried to give him the anesthetic gas. So they asked him, well, okay, well, do you want us to do the surgery without the anesthetic? And he said, yes. So they did the surgery on this guy with no anesthetic. He did not moan. He didn't. And apparently he was smiling the whole time, said a nurse, that he kept smiling at her when she looked at him like,
this is a very creative tale.
It is very good. Yeah. So, you know, they're saying, yes, it was medically impossible for this person to still be alive. And yet he was still alive. So then the surgery ends, you know, they put all the guy's parts back in where they were supposed to go. And so the guy starts trying to talk, like he needs to say something very urgently. And he couldn't talk because his vocal cords were shredded from all the screaming. So the doctor hands him a pad and a pencil and he writes, keep cutting. Because bitch was hardcore, right?
Yeah.
So the same thing happened with the other guy. You know, he also refused the anesthetic. So they had to do the surgery, the gut putting back in surgery without anesthetic. And apparently they super enjoyed it. And they tried to give, actually one of them, I think they had to give a paralytic so he wouldn't move around like while they were doing it. And they said, but it didn't work for that long. Like it wore off really quick. And then they just started fighting again and shit like that. And so then it says the researchers tried asking why they had injured themselves in this way, why they had ripped out their own abdominal organs and whatnot, why they wanted to be given the gas. All the guy would say, because they asked this to one of the guys, and he said, I must remain awake. That's all he said.
All right.
Okay. So after this, you know, after their guts were put back in, the ones that were still alive, they said, okay, well, just put them back in the cell for now. We don't know what we're going to do with them. So there was some argument, you know, some of the researchers were like, maybe we should just euthanize them because look at them for Christ's sake. Meanwhile, one of the military guys who I guess is supposed to be ex-KGB or something was like, no, this is really interesting. Let's see how this plays out. Don't kill them and stuff like that. So there's all this argument. And eventually the military guy wins, right? So they put him back in the cell and then they say they're going to put him back on the gas and we'll see what happens. So evidently, the subjects that were remaining, they were connected to an EEG monitor, had their restraints padded. They were going to put them, you know, they had them restrained and they put them back in the cell, like still strapped to the beds.
Yeah.
Now, as soon as they found out that they were going to be put back in the cell and back on the gas, they all stopped struggling.
Okay.
Right. So they're just like, hooray, that's what we wanted. They said, but at this point, you know, this was 15, 16, 17 days or whatever. And they said, now at this point, it was starting to become clear that they were really struggling to stay awake.
Right.
So, you know, they said one of the guys was like humming to himself, like he was trying to keep himself awake and shit like that. Now, one of the guys, he was hooked up to the EEG and they said that he would flatline and then come back and flatline and then come back. And he was like wigging out, like every time he fell asleep, he was dying essentially. Right. So the one guy eventually lost the struggle. He fell asleep and immediately died. Okay. So I'm thinking at this point, this is where the story gets a little confusing. Now, this is the most famous version of this. I've seen like a couple different variations of it. But this one says, so there's only two guys left alive, two of the subjects. It says, so the commander gave the order to seal the chamber with both subjects inside, as well as three researchers. I'm not sure why that was done, but the three researchers are going to be locked up in here with these two guys. One of the three researchers evidently pulls out his gun and shot the commander. It was like, you are not closing me in here with these motherfuckers.
Right.
He then turned the gun on the one subject that was still alive that couldn't talk, the one with the shredded vocal cords, and shot that one as well. So now there's only one test subject left. So the researcher then evidently, and this is where you know that it's a fictional story, right?
Right.
So he turns the gun on the last remaining test subject and says, you know, I won't be locked in here with these things.
Yeah.
And then he turns to the guy. He says, what are you? All right.
What year is this supposed to be again?
In the 40s. Yeah. And this is what the guy says. It says the subject smiled and the guy says, Have you forgotten so easily? We are you. We are the madness that lurks within you all, begging to be free at every moment in your deepest animal mind. Yeah. We are what you hide from in your beds every night.
Yeah.
We are what you sedate into silence and paralysis when you go to the nocturnal haven where we cannot tread.
Yeah, man.
Who talks like that? Nobody.
Yeah, but this apparently is that's trolling.
Yeah.
This is trolling.
Evidently. Well, it's not trolling. I'll get to that. Yeah. So evidently, so then the researcher's like, okay, fuck that. So he kills the last guy.
Yeah.
And the last thing that the test subject said was so nearly free. Okay.
I ain't buying not a word of it.
Now, this is what kills me. Obviously, this is a fictional horror story that someone wrote as a fictional horror story.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I mean, I kind of know why some people think it might have happened, but when you get to the end, like, it almost sounds plausible at the beginning. Like, that kind of sounds like an experiment they might have done back then.
Maybe.
Kind of unethical one. But as the details go on and on, I mean, there is just no way
that
shit happened the way it happened. So if you check out, like, all your, you know, skeptical websites that look into this urban legend kind of stuff, Snopes, Skeptoid, stuff like that, the earliest instance of this story was from August 2010, and it was originally posted as a creepypasta, which, you know, everyone knows what a creepypasta is. So it was, I don't think it was intended to be a real story.
I came across about 2013 on a YouTube video.
Well, that's kind of when it took off.
Yeah, I got about 5 minutes into it and I went, yeah, no.
Even though it had been around for a few years. Like I said, now the earliest one that anyone's found. Now, some people have said that a version of it also appeared on the paranormal section of 4chan. Sometimes it's titled Orange Soda.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure why. I don't know if that's like the handle of the first person that posted it or whatnot. It might have been. So there are some variations of it going around the internet. Some of the variations name the gas that these people were supposedly experimenting called Nikolaev gas is usually what it's called. But
Nikolaev gas.
Yeah. So like I said, the earliest iteration of this story appeared as a creepypasta, just like Slenderman, just like Jeff the Killer, all your famous. It's probably easily one of the top five best known creepypastas. And it actually came out of, I believe it actually came out of a photograph.
Okay.
That and it's a very famous photograph. I'll put it in the video of like this really creepy looking dude that looks kind of like a mummy, but he's like kind of
he's on a hospital bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now that photograph,
yeah,
which is, you're gonna laugh at this. That photograph is actually a Halloween prop.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called right now, but they sell it at Halloween superstores and stuff like that. And someone had taken a picture of it on this bed, and somebody like photoshopped it to sort of look like a real person. And somebody kind of wrote a story based around it, or made the picture like to go with the story or whatever. It's kind of hard to say. But I've always been kind of fascinated by urban legends, how they start. Like I said, it seems like this one, if it had just been, you know, the first part of it, you could almost kind of believe that, because the Russians were doing some weird shit, right?
Yeah.
There was a very famous experiment, which evidently really happened, because some real scientists like J.B.S. Haldane and stuff like that, like, said that they saw it and, you know, were advocating for it and stuff like that. But if you go on YouTube, there is a old video from 1940 called Experiments in the Revival of Organisms.
Yeah, weird.
From the Soviet Union. And apparently they have this kind of, it's like a blood recirculating machine.
Yeah, it's
machine,
a blood recirculating machine they were using.
Called an autoejector.
Yeah.
And
it took place of the heart and and the lungs.
And they're using it to keep a dog head alive.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's, yeah.
It's bad.
I mean, I can see why that would be useful.
I don't know why they did that to a higher animal.
But why would they do it to a dog? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard to watch, but it is in the public domain, so you can watch it.
That's
if you want to. But so I think that's why this story seems believable at the outset, because there was some fucked up shit going on.
They were also transplanting dog heads onto other dogs. So a dog, making two-headed dogs.
Yeah.
And, you know, the doctor that did that, I don't think that was a Russian that did that. Oh, yeah, maybe it was. It's been a long time. I'm just thinking about it off the top of my head. I know that the guy who made the two-headed dog, his buddy looked at that shit and said, man, don't you fucking do that shit again. Like, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Well, yeah, you shouldn't even have to tell. Don't make a two-headed dog. I mean, that seems just, like, super obvious, really. But
just, you know, they want to know about tissue rejection and things like that, you know what I mean?
Which, but, like I said, that is a noble goal. Like, I'm sure that that would be, you know, useful information to have.
Yeah.
It's just how? How can you?
But evidently that doctor's buddy called bullshit on that and said, man, don't do that.
Yeah. You know, just like, you shouldn't have to tell him, hey, they knew that let's not keep a dog head alive with the machine. That's fucked up. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so it's interesting that you said that you first heard this story in about 2013, because that seems when it went from just a fictional horror story to urban legend status.
Yeah, it must have went viral, or I wouldn't have found it.
Around that time,
I wasn't looking for it.
And like I said, it is easily one of the best known creepypastas. If you search, I mean, I think Slender Man is probably the best known one, and Jeff the Killer might be better known, too.
I got a few paragraphs into it, and I went, nah, this is bullshit.
Yeah, there's no way. And it should be noted, too, not only would the people, like I said, the experimental protocol, even if it was an unethical experiment, which they did do unethical experiments, okay, fair enough. But if they were really trying to determine the effects of sleep deprivation, the effects of this particular experimental drug, you know, why would they have let these subjects stay in this room unobserved for such a long time? I mean, obviously that is a fictional trope, because then it's shocking when they go in there and they find these people all fucked up with their guts hanging out and stuff like that. In a real experiment, you would want them to be under observation constantly, because you would want to keep monitoring.
And there'd
them.
Be a goal to it.
Right.
And, you know, even some of the worst human experiments that we know of were stuff that happened in concentration camps, you know, and even those kind of had the goal of trying to find out the limits of human endurance in terms of how long does it take for a person to freeze to death in water.
Yeah.
And they wanted to know that because they wanted to know when to call off an aerial search of a downed pilot in the English Channel. That they, you know.
Yeah. I mean, there was, as fucked up as it was, they did have a reason.
They did have a reason. They're like,
there was a question that they wanted.
Yeah. They wanted to know, well, if the water's 25 degrees, how long does it take to kill the person so we'll know when to call off a search? They didn't want to waste gas and time looking for a guy who's dead.
Right.
That was the idea. And with something like this, there's no discernible goal. Why would you need to know that?
Yeah. And another thing, too, is that evidently, these guys went without sleep for 15, 16 days were eating out their own, you know, guts and eating their own flesh and stuff like that.
People went further with
that. That's what I was just going to say.
That's not very long.
Now, there haven't been a shit ton of sleep deprivation experiments.
All right.
There was one done in 1964.
Yeah.
It was actually done as a science fair project, but it was monitored by Stanford, a guy from Stanford who was a sleep researcher and stuff like that. A guy went 11 days, experienced what you would normally think. If he was irritable, paranoia, things of that, hallucinations, things of that nature. Yeah. He went 11 days, and after the experiment was over, he slept for 14 hours, and after that was totally fine. He did not exhibit anything like the sort of extreme behavior. Now, it should be noted that up until now, the Guinness Book of World Records, they don't do this anymore because, you know, you can't actually die from not sleeping. But the world record at this point, before they retired the classification, is held by a woman in England who did it in 1977, and she stayed awake for almost 19 days.
Damn.
And like I said, experienced various, you know, side effects, but nothing terribly extreme.
Yeah.
So the fact that these people would go that crazy that short of a time is not plausible.
Yeah. If you went like 4 days without sleep, you probably don't feel too different between 4 days and 14 days. That probably feels about the same.
Yeah. I mean, you would think you would get to just like a base level of shittiness. And that's
it would
what,
not get any
And
worse
I mean,
there.
Like I said, I think the longest I went without sleep was 2.5 days.
Yeah.
And you do start having mild hallucinations at that point. I actually saw a train going across the highway.
Yeah. But I was in the Army.
But I knew it was a hallucination, though.
When I was in the Army, the same thing happened to me. But it actually... hallucinations happen even sooner if you combine that with like strenuous activity and really low temperatures. You know what I mean? You can start to hallucinate just in 20 hours.
Yeah. But the fact that someone would start eating their own organs. See, because I think the whole point of this story it seemed to go supernatural at the end. Because, like I said, not only would these dudes be dead if all that really happened to them. I mean, just the blood loss alone would have killed them, obviously. It almost seems like they were using sleep deprivation combined with this particular imaginary stimulant gas to say that they almost went into some other dimension, or they accessed some otherworldly type of power or something, because they were apparently super strong and, you know, stuff like that, which obviously cannot happen. So
sounds like somebody exaggerated what they heard about, say, like methamphetamine and bath salts or what we know as Flocka. Remember this guy here in Florida ate the other guy?
Yeah, he ate his face.
They got naked down in the middle of traffic and one ate the other's face, and then the cops shot him. I mean, drugs can make you do bizarre shit.
Yeah.
But I don't think what they're describing here with sleep deprivation and stimulant gas. If the gas was that bad, it would happen pretty quickly. And then they would end the experiment.
And it should be noted, too, that, yes, there are gases that cause, you know, that are stimulants and things like that. But if you keep administering it,
it'd kill you.
it would either kill you or it would wear off. You know, because the effect of a drug only goes so far, and then it's not effective anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing happens there. Now, like I said, I've always been fascinated by urban legends, where they start, because a lot of them do have roots in something that really happened and then were later exaggerated and, you know, over the years and stuff like that. This one, like I said, seems to have been inspired by the similar kind of experiments that the Russians were doing, and maybe even that the Nazis were doing too, and just kind of taken to an almost supernatural extreme. Now, something that I found really interesting is that I was reading this article about it, about this particular creepypasta, and the woman that wrote the article, or she had done kind of a study of the most popular or most viral stories from creepypasta, and she kind of analyzed what it was that made them so popular, like what percentage of them had this thing going on and stuff like that. And she discovered that she took like the 72 most popular ones, and she said by far the most popular stories, 71% of them concerned some type of unexplained phenomenon, ghosts, aliens, unknown cryptids, things like that. So people really love the unknown. So that was by far the most common trope in the stories that went viral. 68% of them were first person narratives, you know, people describing something. So it sounded plausible, like it happened to me. 61% of them were monsters or supernatural beings. 53% of them had cliffhanger endings, which, you know, because people can debate them and, you know, stuff like that. 46% of them contained murder.
Of course.
Yeah, because everyone's scared of that. 24% of them contained creepy images.
Well, of course.
And like I said, some of them, well, Slender Man, very famously, the whole urban legend of Slender Man just grew out of a Photoshop somebody had made.
Right.
It was like some kind of contest where it's just take a normal photo and put something super creepy. And so somebody put like this really tall guy with no face and kind of put him in the background of all these old photos.
And it started
this whole, and eventually a whole urban legend grew up about it. So there's a very, they've actually studied where that came from. So they know exactly where that came from.
Yeah, I guarantee you religions start that way too.
Well, everything starts like that. All urban legends start like that.
Yeah.
And 6% of them contain creepy videos. They said, now usually a lot of them have videos, and I've even seen, you know, photos and videos that purport to be from the Russian sleep experiment. They said, but usually most of these videos are made afterwards by like fans of the story. It's very funny because I don't know if people kind of put these photos along with these stories later on, like genuinely thinking that that's what they are, because I've seen some photos I've seen associated with the Russian sleep experiment story are obviously stills from movies. I mean, I've seen, like, I was looking at, like, I was reading one article or something about it, and it had a picture, and I said, that's from The Machinist with Christian Bale, the movie where he lost like a whole bunch of weight and he looks like like a really skinny and gross. And I said, that's from that movie because I've seen it.
Yeah, he's extra.
Not that was a different one. But and also another one. And actually, I've seen stills from the 1991 movie Begotten, which is like an experimental silent film. There's very, very famous images at the beginning of this figure that's supposed to be God. And he's really creepy looking. And he has this big, long mouth. And he's all like eviscerated and stuff. That's from a movie called Begotten. And I've seen that illustrating a shit ton of different urban legends.
Movie.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't know if you'd like it. It's a silent film.
Yeah.
It was made in the 90s, but it's made to look like one from the 20s. Like, it's all grotty and fucked up and everything. Yeah. And it's kind of tells the biblical Genesis story, sort of. But there's rape and it's disturbing. All
right.
But it's very nightmarish. All
right.
But yeah, like you were saying before, I think that one popular video that made the rounds as like a quote unquote real creature sighting.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's this little creature with like backwards legs.
Yeah.
And he's like kind of crawling into a road, like in front of a car.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh my God, real life creature sighting. I'm like, no, that's from the movie Extro.
Yeah.
It was like an alien movie. It was a British, it's not very well known. So I can see why people get away with doing that kind of shit, because maybe not a lot of people have seen it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a movie. It's called Extro. It's like a horror sci-fi. And I see that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, especially if you kind of go through YouTube and it's like the paranormal stuff and the monster sightings and stuff, 9 times out of 10, most of that's from like some obscure horror movie or something like that. And I don't know if people are doing that. Well, the first person that did it probably doing it deliberately. But I think some people are just like repeating it. They haven't seen that movie, so they don't know that it's not
and
a
you
real
don't know
thing.
The age of the poster. The person posting this might be 14 or 15 years old.
Yeah, you don't know. So like I said, that one with Extra, I can see how that happened because, you know, not a lot of people saw that movie.
Right.
But if you see that movie, because the first time, because I had never seen it, and then you recommended it, and we watched it one Halloween, I think. And when I saw that, and when I saw that scene, I'm like, oh my God, I've seen that on YouTube so many times. It's like, look at this freaky creature that like it's a real cryptid. I'm like, no, that's just for a movie. But yeah, same thing happened here. Like, and you know, I've seen a lot of kind of fake pictures illustrating this particular story. But yeah, so I'm gonna say it's an awesome story. And I should say too that somebody made a half an hour long short film.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Russian Sleep Experiment, official film, and it's available on YouTube. They put it up there, and it's actually pretty good.
Is it?
There's only 3 guys. It's not 5 guys, and some of the real gross stuff is left out, which I kind of thought was kind of disappointing. Maybe they couldn't, maybe they couldn't afford to do the special effects, but it's actually pretty good. It's pretty good atmospheric and stuff like that. So I'll put a link in the description if you want to watch it, because I kind of enjoyed it. But yeah, just a story. That's all it is. Didn't really happen. So that'll do it for this first episode of 2018.
God, I can't believe it.
I know. Like I said,
we got more episodes to come.
We're all getting old. Yeah, hopefully we will even have more and more episodes this year. And like I said, keep sending in your suggestions for topics. I have a huge list, but, you know, we can always add more. And also keep an eye out for our latest movie reviews. Our last one was The Legacy, and then we're going to do more coming up in the coming weeks. And don't forget to check out my book, The Faceless Villain, if you haven't already. Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or go to our blog at 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com. And there's a link in the sidebar if you would like to give a one-time PayPal donation. That would be much appreciated. Also, check out zazzle.com/13oclock if you want to buy some t-shirts with our cool logo and some other kind of cool artwork. And we will see you next Tuesday. Bye. If you leave.